This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on Friday, the 4th of March. I'm Shazana Mukhtar together with Wong Xiaoning. Now, the Johor State election is just around the corner. It's happening in 8 days on March 12th. And all eyes will be on the latest political kid on the block, MUDA. They'll be making their electoral debut there. So MUDA will contest in 6 seats, which were negotiated with DAP and Amanah. And they'll also go head-to-head with PKR for the Larkin seat after failing to reach a compromise on seat negotiations.
Interestingly, the party also announced that they will not adopt Pakatan Harapan's manifesto, but will be coming up with their own policy offerings as well as using their own logo. Now, this party, founded in September 2020 and formally registered at the end of last year, is, you know, the question is, what is this emerging party expecting from its maiden elections?
So for more on this, we're speaking to Zaidil Baharuddin, Information Chief of MUDA. Zaidil, good morning. It's always good to have you on. Could you start by maybe giving us a sense of what's happening on the ground? How is MUDA, what's MUDA's campaign strategy in Johor? And what are your, how are you convincing the state that MUDA is the way forward?
Hi, good morning. Good morning. Just a quick clarification. I'm actually the VP. We have another person as the information.
It's just a recent reshuffle. A promotion.
I'm sorry, because I don't want to ruffle feathers with the other person. So, you know, I just want to be clear on that. All right. So the question is, how is it on the ground? I am actually in Tenang, Johor. The ground looks good. I mean, the reception is quite positive. Even though we're contesting in a Malay majority seat and we're fielding a well-known non-Malay lawyer, Lim Wei Jet here, it seems that people are more receptive, and it's a good test bed for us whether the branding of the party and the acceptance of the party goes beyond racial politics, because we know that we have a good candidate. We know that our candidate is actually has a good track record, is actually quite friendly to the local people, and is much younger. And so we're kind of hoping that that would turn around on the notion that Johor is actually a strong UMNO state. Well, you know, UMNO lost it in last general election. And the UMNO MB is not the Menteri Besar that actually got the people's mandate. But, you know, the issue of voter turnout is always there. The issue of, you know, campaigning in such restrict manner is always there. But we're trying our best, and we hope that we try to win at least a couple of seats from in our debut election.
So Zaidil, some people actually say that the fact that you're fielding, and since you're in Tenang, fielding someone like, you know, Lim Wei Jet, is actually a bit of a naive political strategy, because these candidates are untested, and you say yes because they're Chinese and in a Malay-dominated voting public. What do you say to your detractors? Are Malaysians ready for this?
Well, you know, I think the other word for naive is different. Or the other word for naive is going against the norm. And, you know, if we ever want change in Malaysia, we have to, you know, eventually adopt change. And one of the changes is this. And if the criticism is naive, well, that's the risk that we're willing to take. In fact, the whole idea of MUDA, some may argue as naive, is actually something different. And, you know, if we say we want to do something different, we ought to, you know, do it and actually prove it. And I think putting Lim Wei Jet in Tenang, rather than naive, is something that, you know, we have to do. We have to test this idea. Whether Malaysians can accept it or not, whether folks in Tenang can accept it or not, let's find out. But we will try our best to sell the idea that, you know, it's more of a candidate rather than, we need to go away from this race-based politics. You know, if Lee Chong Wei can win a goal for all Malaysians, why in the world are we so worried about, you know, oh, Lim Wei Jet isn't Malay and isn't, and he's a Chinese folk and whatnot. And so, yeah, it does sound a bit idealistic, but, you know, logically speaking, why are we, it's already 2022. Why are we so caught up in this? And you know what? We refuse to caught up in that idea, and we'll try our best to break the mold that is usual, to break the mold that is in Malaysian politics.
Zaidil, how would you respond to other arguments that MUDA's candidacy or MUDA contesting in the seat of Larkin, where it will also go head-to-head against a PKR candidate, will only end up cannibalizing the opposition movement? So why have you opted to run in Larkin despite these arguments?
Now, let's put that into context, right? It does seem on the first surface that negotiations did break down. But here's the thing. Out of 56 seats that is available in the state assembly, only Larkin that will see clashes between MUDA and Pakatan Harapan. You know, that itself is quite a major breakthrough. that by itself. And out of that 20 seats that PKR is fielding, Larkin is the only one that we are clashing, which is, by the way, is a former Bersatu incumbent seat. Just like all of the other 6 seats that we are contesting, those are actually former Bersatu seats, which was the basis of our negotiations. Of course, in an ideal situation, there should be no clashes. But considering it all, 1 out of 56, I think that is quite a positive outcome. So the goal of, you know, minimizing clashes between, same-minded opposition parties, although we did miss some others, is quite a positive outcome, 1 out of 56. And so, yeah, that would be my answer towards that. And so why Larkin? Because it is an interesting urban seat. It has a high number of young voters. It's also not a PH incumbent seat. By that, I mean Bersatu was winning there before. We have a local candidate, and it's the only other seat that we are contesting in the southern urban area apart from Puteri Wangsa. The other 5 that we're going is actually in the semi-urban and the northern seats.
But Zaidal, some would say that there are fissures between the opposition parties. After all, you're deciding to adopt your own manifesto, run under your own flag and, you know, banner. And if you look at GE14, that was not the case, right? All the opposition parties were relatively united and ran under one banner. So isn't this going to work against y'all?
Well, let's find out. But first and foremost, the basic thing is that we minimize clashes. I mean, that's the basic thing in regards to what's when having a political electoral coalition. I think that is the main basis that we have to look at. And second of all, we are not the only one that's running on our own banner. There are strategic and tactical decisions that's made by not just us, but by other parties as well. There's a tactical reasons why we want to test our own banner in regards of new voters coming in regards to the branding of the party. And so that's that. In regards to the manifesto, well, number one, we're not part of Pakatan Harapan. I mean, this has to be quite clear. We're quite new and we're not into Pakatan Harapan yet. But the difference in manifesto is that, number one, we just want to introduce ourselves to the Johor State Assembly. And I don't think the voters will see that the difference in manifesto is equivalent, that we are not united as an opposition bloc. It's just that maybe there's a varying degree, and our manifesto is more focused on what we want to champion the state seats. And naturally, people, when they read our manifesto, which will be launched over the weekend, would understand that this manifesto makes more sense under a new government rather than under an UMNO or Perikatan Nasional government.
Zaidal, can I ask how much of the PH party machinery you're utilizing? Are you guys collaborating in campaigning, or is it mostly on separate fronts?
No, we are actually quite tight together, even though apart from Larkin. Just like tonight, by the way, if you folks are free, you can, from KL, 2.5 hours drive to Tenang. We have a ceramah, by the way. I will be there. Gurbin Singh will be there. And also, the head of a local PKR Cabang leader will be there. He will give a ceramah as well. And yesterday, our friendly friends from DAP and Amana helped us in campaigning as well. And tonight, I'm kind of hoping to see Saudara Kanan, who is also a candidate in Dun Bekok, which is beside Tenang, to you know, give us drama together. Last week, we had Hanayo, and also, again, the DAP candidate from Bekok giving drama with alongside Syed Saddiq. And we're expecting to see, Trisakot to help us campaigning in Satri. So, yeah, it does seem tight on the ground. I mean, there are clashes. Look, in an ideal situation, everyone expects, more than anything, actually, people expect Muda to be doing flawlessly and perfect. Whatever slight misstep we do, especially on social media, we're heavily criticized. But that's okay, because, you know, people have high expectations of the party. People have high expectations of the coalition. And we will try to do our best in our first debut.
But Zaidal, at the same time, right, you mentioned the ceramah, and I'll highlight another one, which was the Kota Iskandar ceramah at Jalan Utama that happened a few days ago. And there wasn't much support, according to the media, right? It was devoid of the huge crowds that used to throng the typical PH events. And at that ceramah, you had Mat Sabu, Liu Chin Tong, big names. So is there a sense that maybe you're losing that edge in certain state seats?
Well, you also have to look that into context. Number one, the very, very difficult SOP to conduct a ceramah. We were shut down 2 days ago by the cops because we organized a ceramah not inside our venue, but outside of our venue, just in front. Imagine an SOP that was designed to curb Omicron, and we were told to do ceramah indoors. That is how how nonsensical some of the SOPs are. And the follow-up the next day, SPR changed their ceramah SOPs that, oh, now you can do outdoors, but now it can be extended till 12 p.m. and things like that. I think we have to put that into context as well. And here's another thing, right? The reason why there's a major concern in regards to voter turnout and everything, because this is an election that's not supposed to happen. This is an election that was purposely and deliberately called at a time where they want you to not go out and vote. Exactly. They don't want folks in Malacca, folks in Singapore, folks in KL to come down to Johor to vote. Because guess what? This is not about the rakyat. This is not about the people. This is about the same old elites who want to stay in power. The same old elites wants to replicate what happened in Malacca so that they can to stay in power. So, you know, number one, I hope that the voters are not disheartened by what they read on the media. And, you know, take the necessary steps, wear double masks, get yourself boosted and come out to vote. And don't allow this small group of people to dictate us yet again without our mandate.
So, Zaidal, 6 seats, right, you're contesting?
Seven.
Come on.
Lucky number seven.
How many do you think you win?
Oh, well, I dare not say. I hope we win all seven. But I'd rather not put that. However, I'm kind of I have hopes for Tenang.
Okay.
And so, you folks remember, help Lim Wei Jet and also help us with our fundraising, muda.my. So I'm more than
okay,
happy.
I'll let you slip that plug in.
Thank you.
One more question in terms of the opposition bloc, since you're all friendly and tight together using your words. What are your chances in Johor state elections?
Hard to say. I think you need to talk to Merdeka Centre about that. I'm actually focused on the ground per se. I'm not giving a safe answer. I'm not trying to avoid this, but you know, more often than not, politicians tend to say things that are way beyond their knowledge base, or sometimes you know, misspoke and whatnot. I'm actually quite focused. I'm actually now in Segamat in nearby Tenang, and so you know, if you ask me about Tenang, I can tell you more about it. I'm kind of hoping it all depends a lot on voter turnout, honestly. It all depends on voter turnout. So you folks, especially those Undi 18 and those outside of Johor, calm down and make sure you do not vote for Perikatan Nasional Barisan Nasional. Priority to Muda and also PH. That's it.
Zaidal, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Zaidal Bahardin, Vice President of Muda, talking to us about Muda's campaign strategy in the Johor state elections. They're vying in 7 seats. It remains to be seen how many they'll win.
Yeah, he didn't want to put a number to it, right? And whether the opposition bloc can actually take Johor back. Well, it's going to be interesting elections because this is the first time that we're seeing voters above 18 allowed to vote, and also automatic registration, as many as, what, 700,000 voters coming into these new elections. All of them multi-cornered fights with at least 3, if not 4 candidates.
10 political parties in the fray.
Never been so crowded before.
Exactly. It's a fight to watch for sure. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.